about.
You're thinking that, you know, you're at the end of your tether now. But what if this is just the beginning of your story?
Then it's a slow start, isn't
it? If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
That's a good album.
Oh, my hero, Neil Diamond. Great singer and a man who knows it all. That's why they wanted to shut him up. Look at this. Neil Diamond, concert canceled, throat problem.
Neil Diamond, concert canceled, singing legend cites throat problem.
Yeah, couldn't talk or they didn't want him to talk.
Probably couldn't talk.
Oh, no, they didn't want him to talk.
Right.
He knows where all the bodies are buried, about the New World Order, enslavement of the masses, health care for all. He knows about it.
Neil Diamond does.
Oh, yeah, and he was ready to sing.
I like that song, Sweet Caroline.
He knows how it all comes together.
Good guitar player as well.
Yes, yes.
Hey! And now,
just testing this out. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. All right, I'm done.
Our feature presentation.
That was a long check. It was good that
it
he did
was.
That.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It is the September 11th,
yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I've been hearing stories this morning.
Let's start with a funny story
right. Of
an idiot. Brian Remley, 24. Broke into a couple's home in St. Petersburg, Florida, middle of the night.
Okay.
Guy gets up, goes to the bathroom at 4:30, finds him in the living room, rummaging through stuff, trying to find something to steal. So he had a gun, I think as everybody in Florida does.
Yes.
And there were shots fired, and I'm not exactly sure. I think the intruder had a knife, and there were a couple of shots fired, didn't hit anybody. And, of course, the wife was upstairs. She called 911. The police were on the way. And at one point, the guy that broke in, Brian Remley, he said, look. Let's just calm down and handle this like adults.
Even though I broke into your
this
house.
This is the guy that broke into their house.
Right.
Here's my proposal. You let me go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come back this afternoon and mow your lawn.
Really?
I'll mow your lawn for you. Yeah.
What'd the guy say?
Of course, no. That's a terrible proposal.
I would have thought about it.
Mow your lawn for a month, maybe. I don't know that you let a guy go if he's going to mow your lawn once. And by the way, you're taking the word of a guy who broke into your house.
That's true.
That he's going to come back and mow your lawn. He's not a very good negotiator.
Yeah.
That's my point. So
it's worth a shot.
The dude basically just sat on him until police got there, and then they took him away and arrested him.
But his lawn's a mess.
His lawn is really an eyesore, and I think he made the wrong decision. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Dr. Drew will be on the program today.
Not a real doctor.
Is a doctor.
Oh, okay.
He is a doctor, yes. We're going to talk about Taylor Swift, or Tadoff Switler, as we call her,
mm-hmm. And
her big beef that's going on now. We have some highlights of the new U2 album. We are going to talk to Matt Hannon, which is really the only thing that matters, I think, today. Matt Hannon is a name you probably don't recognize. But Ralph's been talking about this movie and brought in some clips of Samurai Cop.
Yes.
It is.
Oh, my God.
If you haven't heard any of the clips that we play, it is maybe the worst movie ever.
The best worst.
Best worst.
Yeah.
It's so some movies are so bad that you watch and you start getting entertained by how unbelievably bad they
yeah.
are.
Yeah. This is the kind where you could memorize lines.
And quote them and quote them.
Yeah.
Is that the same one you pulled up yesterday, Muggs, or
no.
is that a different one?
All
right. Here's a clip from Samurai Cop.
Are responsible for bringing you from San Diego. Are you sure this is a good bust?
Yeah. Cocaine.
Hi, Sergeant. How are you?
I'm just fine.
We're going to go catch us some bad guys.
Good luck. Call me if you need me.
See you.
See you later. All right.
Yeah.
That's some acting.
It really does look and sound like it was made by sixth graders.
Yeah.
You know, like the projects that they do, they have film class or whatever, and they go out. Not high school. This is way too bad for high school. But, yeah, like,
it's pretty awesome.
It's like our own Omar Khan, who made this great classic. Now we realize this is a classic. Now that we've seen Samurai Cop, Omar made Cucamonga Heat.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm gonna take care of them, dude. All right, so I'm gonna send you to go make a fake drug deal. All right, I want you to take care of this for me, man. All right. Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty. All right. Just take care of this for me, dude. All right. Everything's gonna be okay. All right. Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's gonna go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I gotta go. Later.
So they call him Samurai, huh?
Yes. His real name is Joe Marshall. They call him Samurai. He speaks fluent Japanese. He got his martial arts training from the masters in Japan. He was brought over here from the police force in San Diego to fight us.
To fight us? To fight me? To destroy my operation? To kill you and my other men? To put handcuffs on me and put me in the gas chamber.
Put me in the gas chamber. Take it easy. Here's what's amazing about this movie, Samurai Cop. No one's good. Like, a lot of times you'll see a movie and somebody is a bad actor or somebody stands out. Every single one of the people in this movie they're terrible.
It's almost like they were given direction to be that bad.
Yeah, like they were trying. But the beauty of this is I don't think they were trying to be bad. I think they were trying to be good. Anyway, they're trying to get a Samurai Cop 2 going, and they've got a Kickstarter. We're going to talk to Matt Hannon, Samurai Cop himself, about that Kickstarter.
Awesome.
So I can't wait for that. We also have your tickets for Coldplay, and we've got your tickets for Walk Among the Tombstones as well, a movie premiere. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. So 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. Ralph Garman is here. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah, sad news. Richard Kiel, the 7'2" tall actor who, of course, famously played the villain Jaws in the James Bond movies. He was also in Silver Streak with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, Adam Sandler's boss, and Happy Gilmore, has passed away at the age of 74. TMZ reports he broke his leg last week and was in a hospital in Fresno, California when he died. I guess that happens to older people sometimes. You break a leg or something and then
how does that
get an infection and then it all goes downhill from there. Plus, he had problems, health problems, being a giant, basically. But he was always very impressive in his films, and I thought he was a man of great humor who never had a chance really to show it much in a lot of his work because he was so physically imposing. My favorite role of his was in a movie called The Longest Yard, the good one with Burt Reynolds, not the one with Adam Sandler. But he played a character named Samson, who was another one of the prisoners there. Burt Reynolds is in prison in Florida, and they decide they're going to play a football game against the guards to try to establish some respect for themselves as the convicts. And Burt Reynolds is going around trying to recruit all the biggest prisoners he can find, and he runs across Richard Kiel as Samson working out in the yard, lifting 400 pounds over his head.
Oh, just 7'2".
Just 7'2". Thinks it'd be a good idea to add him to the team. And turns out Samson is a gentle giant because he is a very gay bodybuilder. And it was one of my favorite scenes from the movie. Here's the work of Mr. Richard Kiel.
We're getting up a football game against the guards. Wondered if maybe you and some of your buddies here would like to join in on the fun.
With the guards?
Uh-huh.
Sure, I'd like that.
Sign him up. I'm way ahead of you. See you around.
Look forward to it.
Look forward to it.
Look forward to it. Yeah. Sure, I'd like that.
It's 9/11. I can't think of that day without thinking of my buddy Seth MacFarlane, who was on a list of people who were booked on one of those flights that morning.
Yeah, that's...
But missed it.
One of the weirdest stories ever.
Seth was so hungover that morning, he was running about an hour late and missed his flight. And it was one of the flights that hit the World Trade Center. Coincidentally, Seth is right now working on TED 2. With star Mark Wahlberg, who was also booked on one of the 9/11 flights.
He was, too?
And missed it as well?
No, he decided to drive with friends instead of take the flight. So it was just a...
Wow, that's crazy.
Just on a whim, they decided to do a road trip instead of flying, and he missed out. Saturday Night Live is celebrating its 40th season this fall. And they've announced the first host will be Chris Pratt of Guardians of the Galaxy, and Ariana Grande will be the musical performer. It'll be great. By the way, you know that company, It's Sugar, the candy store, It's Sugar?
Mm-hmm.
No, but I want to.
They are releasing a brand new line of 40th anniversary Saturday Night Live candy, themed candy.
Okay.
So now you can buy Sweaty Balls. You can get salty Sweaty Balls over at It's Sugar if you're so inclined.
But are there other things that you can get?
But they're delicious, Kevin.
As well?
You love Sweaty Balls. You've always got Sweaty Balls in your mouth. We know that. And speaking of Tattoo, as I was moments ago with Seth MacFarlane, Morgan Freeman has just been added to the cast.
Awesome.
Apparently, he will be starring as a civil rights attorney who takes on Ted's case. Apparently, Ted has some problems with his rights as a stuffed teddy bear. And he recruits one of the best to watch him.
He's one of those guys I'll watch even in a bad movie.
Yep, he's great.
Because he's always
good. Morgan's the best, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Nurse Jackie on Showtime has been renewed for a seventh season.
Oh, I'm excited. I love that show.
Yeah, me too. It's brilliantly done. They will premiere late spring of next year, and it will also be the last season for Nurse Jackie. They've announced that. So a lot of returning cast members, Edie Falco, of course, Peter Facinelli, and Tony Shalhoub will be added to the cast this year. Mm. And first there was 21 Jump Street, then 22 Jump Street, and now it's official. There's a 23 Jump Street in the works. Sony has announced that they've hired one of the writers from 22 Jump Street to do the script.
Same cast, I hope.
Same cast.
Awesome.
The only question is now where it will be set. First one was set in high school. Sequel in college. I don't know. Med school? Law school?
Yeah, either one.
Grad school?
Any of those would be good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Scott Patterson is 56 years old today. Moby! He's 49. Harry Connick Jr. turns 47. Taraji P. Henson is 44 years old today. Ludacris!
Luda.
He's 37. Coldplay guitarist Johnny Buckland is 37 as well. And Elizabeth Henstridge, who I love as Simmons on Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Feel free to ring that bell.
I had my hand over it. I wasn't positive who she is.
She is 27 years old.
Which character does she play?
She is the little British actress who plays Simmons.
The scientist.
Half of the Fitz and Simmons scientist team. She looks a little bit like Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, she's cute.
She's beautiful.
She's hot.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have Dr. Drew coming up on the program today and Ralph's personal hero, Matt Hennen.
Oh, Samurai Cop!
Samurai Cop.
That's the best. And I don't want you, when we get him on the phone, I don't want you being a dick.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to say, you're the worst actor ever. Everyone in this movie is a horrible actor.
No.
You are awful.
Ralph.
Matt is a genius.
Have some
and
confidence.
And deserves to be.
Have some confidence in your boy.
Loved and appreciated for what he is.
Right, and it's going to happen.
An icon.
Right, it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't trust you.
I don't trust you because you, first of all, don't know where you go to eat, which disturbs me.
This is a bizarre thing because I do a lot of dumb stuff. And a lot of it I realize, like, if this gets out, my coworkers will just destroy me. This is not one of them. I didn't see this coming. We were just having a conversation yesterday.
You're the eternal child. But it never ceases to amaze me. First of all, let me tell the people the story. We were talking yesterday off the air, and I was very excited because Kevin was talking about a dining experience he had. And if you listen to the show at all on a semi-regular basis, you know that we mock Kevin endlessly because his diet consists largely of chocolate. That's all he will eat. He will forego an entire entree in order to save room for the pig's trough at the end of the meal.
How dare you?
And when we all get Starbucks, we order coffees like adults. He gets the double choco chocolicious choconaut.
That's a good one.
And he just eats like a child. And so the other day he said, yeah, I went to this restaurant the other day and I had lobster. And my heart soared. My heart leapt out of my chest because I was like, oh, our little boy's grown up. He had lobster. He sat there like a big boy and he had a food, which is difficult to eat for some people who wear helmets and go on a short bus. And I said, Kevin has really taken a step up. He's eating something that's like cuisine.
And he was excited about it, which was a really great moment
until he finished his sentence.
Well, why did I finish my sentence now? I'm trying to figure out.
He finished his sentence and said, I had a great meal. I had lobster, mac and cheese.
And then my heart sank again. And I said, oh, he's back. He's back to eating like an 8-year-old.
It was lobster mac and cheese, though.
I understand that. And there's nothing wrong with lobster mac and cheese.
Okay, good.
It's a delicious occasional
food. It was unbelievable. Occasional.
Yeah. And that's what we found out. Kevin said, I order mac and cheese almost every meal I go out.
I love mac and cheese.
How is that even possible?
Mac and cheese is one of the best
The only way you can eat mac and cheese at every meal is if you get the frozen meals for kids in the supermarket, the thing, the Lunchables or something, whatever you put in
no,
there.
No, they usually have a kids menu.
Well, first and of all, wait for that. Because first I said, where'd you go to eat, Kevin, the other night when you had that lobster mac and cheese? I don't know. I was like, how can you not know what restaurant you went to?
I don't know. I just said go there. I just went there.
I didn't
pay. And you drove there.
I
first
did
of all,
drive.
You drove I to the place and had no idea the name of the restaurant. You had just eaten in the night before.
There were six of us. And
well, too many people to know where I am.
And everybody was excited to go, and I didn't pay attention to what the – who cares?
How does anyone go to a restaurant and not know what restaurant they went to? How does that ever happen, even accidentally? Don't you glance up as you're walking into the building and happen to see the name of the place?
See it on a menu.
You guys
have probably – everyone's excited. They're obviously discussing the restaurant. They must have used the name once or twice.
And you drove there!
Oh, yeah, we did have to call them and tell them that we were late. So there was a conversation in the car about how to get a hold of them. So there was some conversation. But if
did they put a bag on your head and throw you in the trunk? You're
I was driving. But the point is, I didn't really care about the name of the restaurant. So what difference does it make?
Because Kevin never goes anywhere that someone else doesn't plan for him.
That's the truth.
Kevin is
guided through life. Like he's got glasses on and there's a dog on a leash in front of him. He's got a white cane. He's just someone is always telling him where to go, what to wear, who to see, what to do, when to do it.
How does all this come up out of I had lobster mac and cheese and it was awesome?
Because it led us into the conversation about how you constantly have mac and cheese. And I said, why don't you start eating like a grown-up and try some other foods that are different, that are unique, that are for a grown-up palate? And that's
what difference does it make?
Because you are missing out on an entire world of food.
I am enjoying
by being Arrested Development, and this is when we found out people. I'm not kidding you.
I'm enjoying my life.
He starts his dining out experience by looking first at the child's portion of the menu,
the kid's menu. Yeah.
Doesn't matter what kind of restaurant it is, you go to the kids' menu.
Well, yeah, because that's where the good food is a lot of times.
That's where the good food is, he said.
It's true. They have better dessert in a lot of places where they have ice cream and stuff. A lot of fancy restaurants, they try to make fancy desserts. I don't need a fancy dessert. I just want ice cream. I like ice cream. That's it.
But you don't go to the children's menu.
I want fish chips, damn it.
So yeah. In the room,
I want chicken tenders shaped like a boot. I want the cowboy meal.
So in the room,
and I want apple slices with my mac and cheese.
In the room,
do you get a plastic cup? When the drink comes to the table, do you drink it out of a plastic cup with some sort of curly straw?
No, but they did offer liquid nitrogen drinks that were frozen with liquid nitrogen. You know how much I love that.
At the mystery restaurant where you don't know where you went.
That was awesome. That was really good.
So something has to happen. There has to be some entertainment with the food in order to make it worthwhile for you.
You know, I get bored pretty quickly.
How can you still be trapped in the kids section of the menu at your age?
But you don't get bored with that.
I'm not trapped there. That's my goal.
You are trapped there.
That's where, you know, you have those conversations of if you are on a desert island for the rest of your life by yourself and you could only get one food. Everybody's had that conversation before, right?
Yeah. Your life would be no different. Your life off the desert island is the same as on the desert island because you only eat the same five foods.
But you can only pick one. So for me, it's pizza, it's peanut butter and jelly, and it's mac and cheese. Like, those are my three. I'd have to choose one of the three of those. What would you choose? You're on a desert island. You get one food the rest of your life.
Well, first of all, that's insane because I don't live on a desert island. I don't have to one food for the rest of my life.
No, but you've had that conversation before. Like, what's the best food that you could eat, you know, nonstop?
Lasagna, I guess. Maybe.
I love lasagna as well. That would be in my top 20.
But we don't live there. This is a pointless part of the conversation because you live in a world where you can go to any restaurant in the world. You're a man of means, Kevin. You're well compensated for what I would say dubious work. You can go to any restaurant in a wonderful city full of cuisine, and you still go to the kids' menu.
I was
How about
sharing
a nice piece of Wagyu Kobe beef done just medium rare, perhaps with some Brussels sprouts or some asparagus on the side.
Brussels sprouts are like weeds.
Or like a kale salad, or you know, some
kale fish.
Yeah, so try you try some interesting new things. There's a whole world of amazing food out there.
I do try.
You don't have to go.
Yes, he had lobster in his mac and cheese.
I had lobster. Mac and cheese.
How about just try some lobster?
I've had lobster before, but you add it to mac and cheese. It's magic. What's wrong with that?
Why?
I did not see the lobster mac and cheese backlash coming. I did not see that.
We didn't see the child's menu thing coming. That was shocking to me.
Your wife
must pound her head against the wall because she. I know she loves great
she
restaurants.
Does. She's
and
a,
she takes you there
she
and
picked
then
the
you
restaurant.
Go to the child's menu.
Yeah, Lisa, she's dead inside. You know that. She's so.
She has to have just given up long ago.
She's
right?
just been so brutalized.
She's
by
the
Kevin
one that picked the restaurant. So,
right,
so she
just rolls her eyes.
It doesn't matter what
sighs.
She picks, and that's why it doesn't matter the name to you because you're going to go to the same section
so
of the menu.
You're going
to the children's
section.
They're going
to put you in the high chair, and they're going to put a bib around your neck, and they're going to give you the mac and cheese, and they're going to give you your chicken tenders.
And your ice cream.
So now
and then you get your ice cream, and they bring you a Roy Rogers. And then you're the only guy
and
at the table
awesome.
Amongst your friends whose menu comes with crayons, Kevin. Doesn't that make you feel the least bit sad
for yourself? I am probably the happiest at that table.
I don't think so.
I think I am.
You know what?
I enjoy my life. I like what I eat. I feel like I'm turning into Bean, not being able to read the room, though, because when I said... Everybody looks at the kids' menu, right? No one in the room.
Kevin actually said that. You all start at the kids' menu, right? That's where everybody started.
And then he looked at Dave. Dave said, I saw him look at me like, well, surely you can back me up. And Dave's like, no, I can't.
No, sorry, Kevin. I may be a 14-year-old girl, but I'm not a 5-year-old boy.
I like what I eat. That mac
and
cheese
we know
was,
that.
That mac and cheese was good.
We know that.
I'm just speechless. I don't.
Oh, you guys are missing out. You don't know how to live.
Man.
You don't know how to live, Ralph.
Yeah, Ralph, that's your problem.
That's my problem.
You don't know how to live.
I'll teach you. I'll take you under my wing.
You know
I'll
what?
Mentor you in the ways of eating.
You would die if you ate with him for a week.
I would. Well, I'd kill myself.
First you'd go
no,
into
you
sugar
wouldn't.
Coma.
You'd be so happy.
No, I would not.
Oh, Ralph. All this anger would be gone.
Unhappy.
You'd be thrilled.
No.
You'd be thrilled. You'd go see bad movies like I do and love them.
How could I say with a straight face to any other adult, I'd like to look at the kids' menu, please. I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't be able to face anyone out again. I would stay home.
Where's that insecurity coming from? Just ask him for
it.
Who cares?
I'm a grown-up.
Who cares?
I do.
A lot of people ask for the kids' menu.
No,
not just
me.
Yes, of course they
do. You
know,
there are people who are asking. People who have kids. We're looking to feed their children. They're the only people who ask for that menu.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
All right. Look. I don't feel like we're making progress.
Get your helmet on. Get on the short bus. We're going to go to Mastro's. I'm going to show you how to eat a meal.
Okay. We've been talking about this Taylor Swift battle that's been going on for quite some time. She wrote a song called Bad Blood, and it's about another female artist. And I don't know who's less scary than Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I mean, really, she's just so milquetoast, but she seems to be very, very angry. And Ralph told us yesterday in the Showbiz Beat that it was her beef is with Katy Perry.
Oh, my money's on Katy.
Agreed.
I got to be honest.
And over some kind of dancer thing. Some of her dancers went to Katy Perry's tour or something like that. So we thought we would talk to her and just find out exactly what's going on in her little world. Taylor Swift, hi.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're calling me.
You can believe it. We set it up ahead of time.
I can't believe you're calling me.
You knew ahead of time it was going to happen.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I picked up the phone and then you were on the other end of the phone.
That's always how it works.
It's a miracle.
Taylor, why would you, why, if you had a problem with Katy Perry, why wouldn't you just go to her and say, hey, you stole some of my backup dancers. That's not cool.
Oh, my God, I never said it was about Katy Perry.
No, but it's about Katy Perry. She tweeted something out that sort of made everybody believe that it was because she took some of your backup dancers.
I never said it was about Katy Perry.
Okay, right. I know you haven't. All right,
I just wrote a song called Bad Blood about a girl who stole backup dancers from me in my concert. And I was trying to do an arena concert tour.
Right.
And then she came and she hired the dancers away from me.
Right.
And then I had to go out and get new dancers.
Mm-hmm.
I put new dancers in my show. And I was, oh, my God, I was so angry. Oh, my God.
Well, let me start then with... Is it Katy Perry?
Yeah.
Well, then why all the arguing? It's Katy Perry.
Yeah, Katy Perry.
But don't you understand the way things work? She wins.
I'm not angry at Katy Perry. No.
What?
I'm not angry at Katy Perry.
You're not angry at Katy
Perry? I'm so angry.
You're so
oh,
angry.
Okay.
Katy Perry.
Right, but I'm saying between the two of you, in every way, Katy Perry wins.
And oh, my God.
Music.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you'd say that.
Looks.
Oh, my God.
I mean, really, in every way she wins.
No. I'm just going to shake you off. Yeah, I just shook you off.
Does that work?
Because I'm a hater?
Yeah. Haters going to hate. And that's what you are, and I'm going to shake you off. Because Katy Perry is not better than me. I'm better than Katy Perry.
Well, Katy Perry is better than you in every way.
No, I write my own songs, and I don't have to put on a bra and be a tramp.
No, you don't have to put on a bra.
You don't need a bra.
That is true.
Oh, my God. Because I can't believe you said that.
Because you look like...
You're a woman. You said that about my boobies.
You have Justin Bieber's body. I mean, that's the
problem. Oh, my God. I can't believe you said that.
That's not the first time somebody said that.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't
this
happen?
I don't like you. I'm going to write a song about you.
Taylor,
don't... Bad radio.
Dear God.
I'm going to make people guess who's about. I'm not going to say it's you, but it's you.
Oh, if you write a song, Bad Radio, I think people will know.
Oh, Katy Perry. I see Katy Perry. Hi, Katy Perry. Oh, missed.
What are you doing?
We're having a feud. I want to get... this is my new style. It's like my new record, all just hop, hippity-hoppity-pop-hop.
It's more just straight pop.
Yeah, but now I'm going to like have a feud with another... artist, and we're gonna have a beef.
You're gonna have a beef.
Oh my God, I'm vegan. I can't have beef. Well, I'm gonna have a tofu with her.
Okay, is she really there? Or you just target practice.
I see her. I take Katy Perry. I missed again. I need to be
about
a shot.
You're not a very good shot. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Mm-hmm. Ralph Garman is here now. Time for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
This is good news. I'm finally interested in Iggy Azalea's career. You know Iggy Azalea. She's the Australian blonde from Sydney.
Yep.
Who insists on talking like she's from Compton.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the murder business. And you're like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, cat, didgeridoo, bangaroo, hey, walla, yeah, Qantas. It's like, why are you putting on that voice? Because you're rapping, you have to sound like you're black from the inner city? Racist! Anyway, she bugs me. But this is good news. Steve Hirsch, president of Vivid Entertainment.
Yes.
Says he has been approached by a third party who represents an individual who has rights to a sex tape featuring Iggy Azalea. Yay! Do we have any sound effects or anything on the show anymore? That would be worth watching. She's very attractive.
She is, that's true.
I want to see a murder business. I want to see if her vagina's fancy.
She's so fancy.
I'm so fancy. Can't you taste this gold? Remember my name. Hope to blow.
That's not even her, right? That's the singer from that piece.
Yeah. There's that.
And then she rapped, yeah, with the murder business. Stop it, Iggy Azalea. So maybe we get to see her naked boning. That'd be cool.
I'd be all right with that.
I'd like to see that.
Sure.
Sad news. Richard Kiel has passed away, the actor who played Jaws, famously, in two James Bond movies. Spy Who Loved Me. Great character in Spy Who Loved Me. Moonraker. Horrible character in Moonraker.
Oh, really?
That Bond movie just blows. His Jaws in the first one's like, 7'2" Richard Kiel with a giant steel teeth, and he's biting through cables and stuff, and he's just a badass. And then in Moonraker, like, falls in love with some girl who's got braids. She looks like the Swiss Miss Hot Chocolate Girl, and he's skipping and dancing. Don't get me started.
Well, there's been how many James Bond movies?
25.
25, 26?
Yeah.
So there's bound to be a couple of stinkers in there.
That was a real stinker. Huh? He also played Adam Sandler's boss in Happy Gilmore. Maybe remember him from that. Dozens of other movies and TV shows during a very lengthy career. Started way back in the 50s, for God's sakes. He had passed away at the age of 74. Just sad news. Loved him. As we mentioned yesterday, Katie Sagal got her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday, and a lot of big-name friends popped by for the presentation. It was a little bit of a family reunion. Ed O'Neill, which it was announced he would be there, was. But also, then David Faustino showed up, and Christina Applegate.
Oh, that's cool.
So the whole Bundy clan was there. Just glad to see that for them. And this is unacceptable. You know how I feel about fashion.
Sure. Well,
they've just announced, coming back this year in a big way.
Fanny pack.
Bell bottoms.
Oh,
bell bottoms.
Bell bottoms.
Bell bottoms.
Nope.
The 70s style pants are coming back. According to New York Fashion Week, they announced that several designers, Diane Van Furstenberg and Stuart Vevers and Derek Lamb. You know Derek Lamb. He does excellent
sure.
work.
And Vevers is a piece on board.
Give me some Vevers every time. That's what I say. They are all bringing back the bell bottom.
No!
And this is why fashion blows, people.
No!
Don't do that. This Utopia show, you're watching Utopia and all?
I'm not.
You're not alone. This okay. this cost Fox like $55 million to put on television.
How?
These
why?
Are the people that for a year, right?
Yes. Well, let's hold off on exactly how long they'll be there, Lisa.
That was the original plan.
That was the plan, was to put them on this plot of ground for a year and let them build their own utopian society.
So there was nothing there, sort of, and they just had to build it from the ground up.
I think there's buildings and, you know, you can sustain life there, but there's no societal rules, there's no laws in place. They had to do all that themselves. And so Fox said, we're going to pick out these different people and put them in this thing, social experiment. It'll be fascinating. And
yeah.
No cameramen, just hidden cameras, and we'll just capture it for a year. We'll show this for an entire year, multiple nights a week, and we'll fascinate America, and people will watch.
And how's that going?
Well, it had a lead-in of Sunday football over the weekend.
Which is
a pretty good lead-in.
A huge lead-in, yeah.
So it had a pretty good audience that night. The second night. Tuesday night, it lost 55% of that audience.
Ouch. Wow.
It pulled in around 2 million viewers on the Tuesday night episode. To give you an idea in comparison, the Big Brother on CBS the same night got 7 million viewers.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't even know that was still on.
Yeah, and that's a hit. So now they say Fox is committed to this thing. For a year, will it last? People are speculating and saying no. And by all accounts, it's awful. Just unwatchable.
I saw a trailer for it, and I went, well, not for me, I'll tell you that.
And to make it worse, I mean, you got a bunch of unlikable people on the show, but they don't want any camera people there to infect the utopian society. So it's all just security cameras, basically.
So
just
it looks mounted. Crappy.
So it looks crappy. There's no motion. There's no... It's just static shots, one cutting one through the other, and it's just... $55 million. $55 million.
May have been a mistake in retrospect.
When will they learn to come to me and say, "This is our idea for a show"? What do you think? I'll go. I'll do like Lisa. I'll just give them that, and then they won't have to spend that money.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars born on today, September 11th, which is a bit crappy birthday, by the way.
Yeah, it is. That.
Scott Patterson's 56 years old today. Singer Moby's 49. Harry Connick Jr. 47 years old. Taraji P. Henson, 44 years old. Ludacris, 37.
We call him Luda.
Do you?
Yeah. In the biz.
Who's we?
Me and the hip
you kid. And the rest of the, the child menu readers? The kids menu crowd? That'd be your gang if you walked around doing that. The kids menu crew.
I will not feel bad for that. I enjoy that.
That's sad.
It's not.
But it is.
It's sad to you.
It's sad to everyone.
It doesn't make me sad.
Every email I've got said, oh, I'm sorry you have to work with the Special Olympics.
Oh, I'm not saying it's good for you to work with me. I'm just saying it doesn't make me sad.
Johnny Buckland, Coldplay guitarist, is 37 years old. Tyler Hoechlin, Derek Hale on Teen Wolf, he's 27. And Elizabeth Henstridge Simmons on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Will you ring? Thank you. 27 years old today. I was about to come over this
I know.
Desk.
I can feel it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in a few minutes, our September 11th tribute.
Okay.
Which sort of sucks, but sort of needs to be said. Sure.
Yeah.
We also have some movie tickets for you. We have Matt Hannon, who is Samurai Cop. They're trying to make Samurai Cop 2, and they have a Kickstarter. And I think we all need to pitch in and make that happen. I don't know if you were paying attention. Apple came out and made that big announcement about the iPhone 6.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of different things. They have a watch and a couple of different things. And U2 came out and performed a song. And U2 gave away their album and is still giving away their album on iTunes. If you're on iTunes, you can get the new U2 album through October, I think it's 13th, for free.
That's so cool.
I just went to iTunes and it said ready to download.
That never happens.
Yeah, and so it was completely free. So we thought we'd give you kind of a preview of what it's like, see if you want to get it. To me, it's better than
I'm a U2 fan. I've seen them many times in concert. They're great in concert. They're way better in concert than most bands are. Mm-hmm. You know, they take the music that's on the CD, they make it so much better live. And very few bands can do that. Most of them just try and match it. But this is a pretty good album, I think. The first song I'm going to play for you, a clip, is California. And then in parentheses, There Is No End to Love. That's the name of this particular song. Pretty good song.
I like that, yeah.
Although we do have a band that makes songs about California, and they're called the Red Hot Chili Peppers, so take it easy. This song is called Raised by Wolves. Boy sees his father crushed under the weight of a cross in a passion where the passion is hate. Blue mink thought, I'm gonna detonate and you're dead. Blood in the house, blood on the street. Worst things in the world are justified by belief. Registration 1385W said. Pretty good tune.
I like that.
It's a free album.
Yeah.
Did I mention that?
That's awesome.
Go to iTunes and then it's free. This is called The Troubles. The person singing the high parts is Edge. I don't think that's him.
No.
I think they're actually...
That'd be really high.
Using women singers on this, which they don't do a lot.
Yeah.
On U2 albums. The next one, little clip, is Volcano. Playing clips from the new U2 album, which is free on iTunes until October 13th. Very seldom you just get something like this for free. Mm-mm. And the song we played yesterday is The Miracle of Joey Ramone. I was young, not dumb, just wishing to be blinded by you, brand new, and we were pilgrims on our way. That's what it sounds like. Songs of Innocence is the name of the CD. It is from U2. It's free till October 13th on iTunes. We'll take a break. We'll come back with our September 11th tribute.
I think we're going to have to remember September 11th in its reality, because somehow I think it pushes the human consciousness toward finding ways to avoid this in the future. But if you censor it too much, if you try to find too many euphemisms for what happened, then I think you rob people of the ability to actually relive it and therefore motivate them to prevent it from happening in the future.
We're back at 8:30 on this Tuesday morning. It's the 11th day of September, the year 2001, and we've got a nice crowd on a beautiful early fall morning here in Manhattan. We hope the weather's pretty where you're waking up as well.
This is a special report. A major incident occurred here.
There has been a plane crash.
I just witnessed the plane hit directly in the middle of one of the World Trade Center towers.
The FBI is now investigating reports of a plane hijacking.
This gas goes from one side.
side of the building, practically all the way to the other. People are standing in the street in tears. People are panicking and calling their families.
First thing I'd like to do is take this opportunity to tell everyone to remain calm.
I was thrown to a window.
I saw the plane hit the building.
More and more fire and smoke enveloping the very top of the building.
Right then and there, I knew that this was going to be the worst day of my life as a firefighter.
People are jumping out the window.
That looks like a second plane.
Right now. There's another one. Another plane just hit. Right? Oh, my God.
That's on purpose. Somebody is doing this on purpose.
It's a horrific scene here. There's debris flying through the air over the East River here into Brooklyn.
Today, we've had a national tragedy. The number of casualties will be more than any of us can bear, ultimately.
Oh, my goodness. We're looking at a live picture from Washington, and there is smoke pouring out of the Pentagon.
With an aircraft that crashed into the Pentagon.
110 stories, the top portion of which is collapsing. Good Lord.
Your traffic is being grounded across the United States. 18 minutes later, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was the second tower of the World Trade Center collapsing before our eyes.
United Airlines Flight 93, it crashed in Somerset County, Pennsylvania.
It was a sad thing.
Our nation, our beautiful nation, came of age.
Look at this and you just say to yourself, why? There's no justification for this happening, none.
The images of the replay that never stops of the planes hitting, the towers coming down. And it was like, okay, enough TV.
It did happen, right? It's not something that I'm going to close my eyes and open them again and I'm going to see the tower, right? It's not there.
It's terribly sad here in New York City. It's terribly sad. Because we've never been through this before. We're told that they were zealots fueled by religious fervor. And if you live to be 1,000 years old, will that make any sense to you? Will that make any goddamn sense?
Families are handing out flyers to the media, hoping for some news on their relatives.
My brother works in the 91st floor, and he's unaccounted for at this time.
They should have been here already. The rig is not back. They're not back. They should have been back.
God and angels up above send us home, the one we love.
He said, don't panic. My mom is like, I'm going to be okay. Not to worry about it.
She was on the 93rd floor of the second Trade Center. She called everyone to tell everybody that she was okay. And so we haven't heard anything since then. So we just have to find her. We know we will. Pictures on the
nightstand. Called all the hospitals. TV's on in the day. Into the missing persons place. Your house is waiting. We haven't heard anything at all. Your house is waiting. We haven't heard anything at all. For you.
Everyone's desperate for information.
For you to walk in, but you're missing.
He has to face the reality that he may not come back. You're
missing. The hardest part is not knowing anything.
You're missing. The head of our family is gone. When
I
shut out the
lights, you're missing. I would go up to them when he saw the plane coming. When I close my
eyes. You're missing. I haven't heard from him since. When I see the sunrise, you're missing. Our lives will never be the same.
This nation is peaceful, but fierce when stirred to anger. Grief has turned to anger, and anger to resolution. Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done.
This is war, and we will do everything in our power together to make sure that terrorists never, ever again can create this chaos against our people.
I have a message for our military. Be ready. The hour is coming when America will act, and you will make us proud.
We did not start this war, so understand responsibility for every single casualty in this war, whether they're innocent Afghans or innocent Americans, rests at the feet of the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban.
I say to our enemies, we are coming. God may show you mercy. We will not.
more than 50 Navy jets, a half dozen Air Force heavy bombers, B-1s and B-52s, are carpet bombing the Taliban front lines.
U.S. Special Forces are on the ground in Afghanistan.
Once we hit the ground, got off the bird, we started rolling to the ravine, and there was fighting conditions everywhere.
I believe in the fearless hearts of the United States military.
This nation is freedom's home and freedom's defender. And we owe so much, to the men and women who step forward to protect those freedoms.
Oh, beautiful.
Brave men and women, indeed.
Heroes prove.
Operating there in what continues to be a very dangerous environment.
Liberating strife.
We're blessed with extraordinary men and women who risk their lives each day so that each of us can live in peace and freedom.
Do more than self. Yeah, country love.
They are clearly doing us proud in Afghanistan.
And mercy more than life.
An American flag flies outside the childhood home of John Joseph Edmonds in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
America.
A symbol of the patriotism his family still feels even after losing the 20-year-old Army specialist in the war against terrorism.
Make God thy gold refine.
And for that, all America is grateful.
America, he said,
success.
Has sent the best of her young men around the world.
Nobleness.
Not to conquer, but to liberate.
And
not to terrorize, but to help.
We're
so very thankful to you, the men and women who wear our uniform.
We carry the torch passed to you by hundreds of policemen and firefighters who raised our country's flag over the wreckage.
Not just for the peace of mind of our own citizens, but to free people in Afghanistan from one of the most wretched and despised and oppressive regimes anywhere in the world. Thanks to you, many Afghan women are walking in public again and walking with dignity.
My mother wants me to go to school and become an educated person and get a job someday.
I wish to work, and now I decided to work from 5 of morning until 10 of night, because I stayed at home 5 years. I want to make it equal.
We're happy. God is kind, says the old man, busy carving fools again. The true God, they say, the one they have always worshipped.
It's a beautiful day in Lincoln away.
There's a town in Montana by the name of Shoto, and Montana's been in the middle of a drought for 3 years, and if you got no rain, you can't grow anything, and if you can't grow anything, you can't farm, and that's the way life is in this small town, 1,600 people. Last night at the high school auditorium, they had a rally, and not just a rally for New York City, but a rally to raise money for New York City, and if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the spirit of the United States, I can't help you.
It's a beautiful day.
We see our national character and rescuers working past exhaustion, in long lines of blood donors, in thousands of citizens who have asked to work and serve in any way possible.
The more disaster to handle, every generation's gone through it.
Even though this is a horrific tragedy, this is New York's finest hour.
To me, it shows the greatness of America that people who would be perceived as common people can perform such uncommon acts of valor.
Even after the towers fell, literally hundreds of firemen went right back in.
Their loved one had let two elevators go because he was older. Two people in the elevator were younger.
Every day, total strangers were showing up with supplies.
Somebody said that if you could still use towels.
People who faced death and in their last moments called home to say, be brave and I love you. Passengers who defied their murderers and prevented the murder of others on the ground. Rescuers, the ones whom death found, running up the stairs and into the fires to help others. A beloved priest died giving the last rites to a firefighter.
The American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and the United Way.
Never know of all the heroes. The person who calmed someone and got them out of the building. The person who organized their floor so that everybody could evacuate.
To
office workers finding a disabled stranger carried her down 68 floors to safety. A group of men drove through the night from Dallas to Washington to bring skin grafts for burn victims. For those of us who lived through these events, the only marker we'll ever need is the tick of a clock at the 46th minute of the 8 hour. We remember where we were and how we felt. We remember the dead and what we owe them. We remember what we lost and what we found. Grief and tragedy and hatred are only for a time. Goodness, remembrance, and love have no end. No end.
Pretty well done.
Yeah, I'd
the
say.
Holy S's right there.
Pretty well done.
The Holy S's.
The Holy S's.
Yeah. Foo Fighters are playing concerts in the UK, small venues under a different name.
Oh.
The Holy S.
Got it.
Can't say what their real name is.
I like
but,
it.
That's their new gigging name.
I don't think Foo Fighters have ever put out a song I don't like.
I hear you, brother.
All right, let's talk about this movie.
Yes, A Walk Among the Tombstones. This movie looks awesome. Liam Neeson stars as a private investigator named Matt Scudder. You know he's a cool with a name like Matt Scudder. He is hired by a kingpin, drug kingpin, to find out who kidnapped and murdered his wife. And we are having a special K-Rock advanced screening of A Walk Among the Tombstones. Get to see Liam Neeson kick ass once again in another feature film that comes out on September the 19th. Would you like to go? Would you like to go, listeners? It's very simple. What we have to do is play our brand new game called Get on your Neeson!
Get on your Neeson! Get on your Neeson! Get on your Neeson! Drop down to your Neeson and get some, take us to the Neeson movie, yeah! Guess the clip, yeah, that's your duty! Come on, y'all, you know what you gotta do to win! Everybody, get on your Neeson!
Neeson! Yeah, I like it!
I think it sounded better yesterday in the meeting.
No, it's sweet! It's a simple enough game. We are going to play clips from Liam Neeson movies. All you need to do is listen to the clip and then identify what Liam Neeson film that clip is from. What could be easier than to get on your Neeson?
Not much.
That's what I'm
saying.
I'll
give you that. Let's start with Adrian in Sylmar. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Adrian, you ready to get on your Neeson?
Yes, I am.
All right, here's your clip. Listen carefully.
His toxin is derived from the organic compound found in our blue flowers. He was able to weaponize it.
He's not a member of the League of Shadows.
Of course not. He thought our plan was to hold the city to ransom.
But really, you are going to release Crane's poison on the entire city.
Wow. Almost whole movie.
Gave the whole movie.
Yeah.
Adrian?
Batman Begins?
Yeah, well done.
All right. Yes, you win.
You win. We're going to give you a pair of tickets. You're going to see the advanced screening of Walk Among the Tombstones.
Awesome.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
Nicely done. Let's go to, is it Yomi?
Yes.
Yomi from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
All right. You ready for your clue?
Yeah.
Name this Liam Neeson movie.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a nightmare for you, Yomi. Who am I?
Taken?
Yeah.
Taken is correct.
Taken? Question mark?
It was more of a question than an answer, but we'll give it to you.
You're going. Yay. Congratulations. Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
All right. Aaron, welcome to Get on Your Neeson.
Hey, Kevin. Lisa May.
How are you? Here's your movie. Good luck.
Can you help?
Of course. As will you.
Oh, I wish I was braver.
If you were any braver, you'd be a lioness. Now, I think your friends have slept long enough, don't you?
Ha ha!
Wake up, friends!
Wake up, friends!
I want to say Schindler's List.
What the what? Do you really want to say that?
That's a pretty heartwarming movie.
Schindler's List.
Wouldn't you? No, I'm sorry, Aaron. That was actually The Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh.
But I remember the touching scene between the little girl and the lion from Schindler's List.
I don't understand that guess.
He wanted to say Schindler's List. I don't think he thought that was the answer. I think he just wanted to say
that was just what he wanted to say? All right. Let's go to Robert in Los Angeles. Hi, Robert.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Good, Robert. Here's your clip from a Liam Neeson movie. All you have to do is name it.
Okay.
He won't shoot you because he enjoys you too much. He enjoys you so much he won't even let you wear the star. He doesn't want anyone else to know it's a Jew he's enjoying.
Oh, man.
What could that possibly be?
I'll take a shot in the dark.
Yeah,
why don't you do that? Just name a Liam Neeson film.
Phantom Menace?
Oh, God. Yeah. That was actually...
You know, I thought the giveaway was all the stuff about the Jews and wearing the stars.
And the dude that guessed it just a second ago.
The last guy would have got it.
But... And the German accent. All those things, for me, say Schindler's List.
That was Schindler's List, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for playing, though.
For playing.
Get off your Neeson, by the way, and get the hell out of here.
Jose, you get on your Neeson.
Jose, get on your Neeson.
Are you ready?
You ready?
Yeah.
Here's your clip.
Liam Neeson movie. And by the way, it's not Schindler's List. Okay? Tip.
Go! Go! And in the tree!
On the bike!
They're all around us! Need a fire to keep them off us. Hurry!
Jose?
A little more difficult.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
The Gray?
The Gray! Well done, wow. Sir! It's a great film. Hold on. You're going to, we're giving the details, but you're going to go see A Walk Among the Tombstones.
Nicely done. I didn't think anyone would get that one.
I love that one.
Joe in Mission Hills. Hi.
Hey, Kevin, Ralph, Lisa.
Hello.
You ready to get on your Neeson?
I'm ready.
There you go.
I'm not a good father. I'm not a good man. I'm not hijacking this plane. I'm trying to save it.
What movie is that?
Wow. I have no idea.
Pretty relatively recent.
Yeah. The clue should have been in the hijacking plane line.
Don't say Schindler's List. I'll come through the phone and punch you right in the head. What? Oh, you saw it?
I did see that movie. Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
And the name of the movie that you saw with Liam Neeson in it is called?
I'm sorry, Joe. Nonstop.
I knew it.
Yeah, you didn't really.
Nope.
That's the thing.
The thing about that is you didn't.
That was the whole drawback. Uh-huh. The part of the game where you answered was that you didn't know it.
Enrique in Garden Grove. Good morning.
Good morning.
Enrique, here's your clip from a Liam Neeson movie. All you have to do is get on your Neeson.
Release the Kraken.
Boom. That's all you get.
That's all you get.
That's all you get, Enrique. You better know it.
Release the Kraken. What?
The Clash of Titans.
Yeah,
Clash of the Titans
is what I'm
correct.
Talking about.
Nicely done.
All right, we got one more pair to give away. We have one more clue. Diego?
Hello?
Don't let us down, man. We're going to play a Liam Neeson movie clip. You have to identify it, okay?
All right.
Here you go, buddy.
Down, center on your anxieties, everyone. Keep your concentration here and now where it belongs.
Concentration here where it belongs.
Schindler's List?
I say we give it to Diego anyway.
Just
because,
for comedy?
Because that was a great callback.
I agree.
Yeah, let's give Diego the last pair.
That was Star Wars Episode 1.
Phantom Menace. Yes.
But Schindler's List wins you the tickets. Congratulations.
Force is strong with you, Diego.
Get on your new stuff. Get on your new sense. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55. I wish we had time for the moment with,
oh, we
but
got
we
it.
Don't.
We got,
so let's
we
get
barely,
right to the showbiz.
We barely
beat.
Have time for it. I'll admit it. It is. It's a lengthy one. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But it is a classic already. Kids are screaming for it.
They're not. No one's screaming for it.
Business phones ringing off
no,
the hook.
No, that's not happening.
Play it.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Oh, we have stuff to give away. We have a pair of VIP tickets to the Red Bull Global Rallycross, September 19th to the 21st. It's happening at the LA at the Port of LA. If you'd like tickets and more info, you can go to this website, Red Bull Global Rally Cross. Right. Start the song again. I'm not happy with that. I don't feel like this is going well. I don't feel like the client's getting their money's worth.
That was
wow.
A moment with Kevin.
And then I had to redo all of that.
He redid the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that is a deal.
Maybe live entertainment isn't for you.
It's
maybe
not his
you
forte.
Should get into some sort of pre-recorded entertainment form that can be edited.
Like I did for the Grammys?
Six.
Some of that?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Just seems like when it's
Look,
when the light goes on and it's your turn to talk, bad things happen.
That's really tough to argue with.
I know. And yet that is the lion's share of what you need to do for your job.
That is also true.
Crazy.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Yep, I agree. Sad news. Richard Kiel, the actor who played Jaws in the James Bond movies, has passed away. Died at the age of 74. Listen, 74 is not bad for a giant. He was 7 feet 2 inches tall.
They have health problems because of that?
Yeah, their size usually is... not always, but sort of an indicator that they will have health problems at some time. Especially legs, knees, back. I mean, they're just carrying away around that, that weight, and size can often be detrimental to someone's health. But they rarely have long lives. Richard Kiel was also in Silver Streak, one of my favorite Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor movies, in the Adam Sandler movie Happy Gilmore, and The Longest Yard, the good one with Burt Reynolds from 1974, where he played Samson, the bodybuilder who Burt Reynolds tries to convince to be on the football team. He is massive, he is intimidating, and as Burt Reynolds finds out when he speaks with him, he is gay. And back in 1974, that was funny. And you know it still is.
We're getting up a football game against the Guards. Wondered if maybe you and some of your buddies here would like to join in on the fun.
With the Guards?
Uh-huh.
Sure, I'd like that.
Sign him up. I'm way ahead of you. See you around.
Look forward to it.
Look forward to it.
Look forward to it.
And that's all they did. They never really made any gay jokes or anything about him. It was just, that was just the contrast of how he looked versus how his demeanor was when they talked to him was always a very funny moment.
Are you personally sad by this?
Personally
celebrity
sad?
Celebrity death?
I feel sad, yes. Yeah, because he was a fan of mine.
We need to check with his Dave Sanchez.
Oh, that's
death
right.
Judge.
Death judge.
Dave, can Ralph feel bad about this death?
No! Move on!
There you go. All right.
He's ruled. Sorry.
Jeez.
That's how it works.
I have to call the Keels up now and ask for my flowers back. I'm not allowed to feel sorry for you. Hey, Iggy Azalea, you want to see her in a sex tape?
Yeah!
That's
kids
right,
do.
Kids. Vivid Entertainment has released a statement saying that a third party has approached them who apparently owns the rights to a sex tape featuring Iggy Azalea. I guess this is back when she was just good old Amethyst Kelly. Her regular name is Amethyst.
Yeah.
She doesn't even need a porn name.
True.
She's Amethyst Kelly. Of course, from Australia. You'd never know it from her songs, but she's from Sydney, Australia, not Compton.
Yeah.
She's got a bunch of controversial songs, of course, like Two Times and Fancy. But she's a model, too, and she became the face of a new show on MTV, House of Style. She's bringing that back. She's going to host that. Well, Stephen Hirsch, the co-founder and co-chairman of Vivid, says that he is looking into the tape because he thinks... it would be a huge demand for her sex tape. If there's any tape out there that would rival the Kardashians, this one is it, he says. So we may see that sometime soon.
Do you think it would rival the Kardashians?
I don't think anything would rival the Kardashians anymore. I think it's one of those things where that was so novel at the time. To see a sex tape with someone that you knew from another venue or whatever.
Right. And she was smoking hot and the whole thing.
Well, Iggy's smoking hot.
I know,
too.
I agree. But
I think we're just sort of over the pseudo-celebrity sex tapes. I don't think anybody really has that sort of interest anymore. Today's celebrity birthdays. The only thing I would rival the Kardashians, I think, is if Samurai Cop did a sex tape.
Well, you could ask him about that next.
Matt Hannon. I can't wait to talk to Matt Hannon. Have you seen his ALS Ice Bucket Challenge?
I have not.
You may want to take a look at that before we...
I will.
Before we talk to him. It's Matt Nude.
Okay.
And instead of dumping ice water on his head...
No!
He puts an ice bucket on his junk.
No! That's not going to take off, is it? I mean, that's not going to be a new thing.
I don't think that's the next thing.
Good.
I don't believe so.
I would like to say that's not going to be catching.
But he's got plenty. It's big.
Is
I remember
right?
that from that scene in the Samurai Cop when he was talking to the nurse.
The nurse didn't think it was very big.
She wanted bigger.
Yeah.
What would you want? Something the size of a jumbo jet?
Oh, I can't wait. Samurai Cop 2.
Today's celebrity birthday, Scott Patterson's 56, Moby's 49, Harry Connick Jr. is 47. Taraji P. Henson is 44 years old today. Ludacris is 37, as is Johnny Buckland of Coldplay. Tyler Hoechlin from Teen Wolf is 27. And Elizabeth Henstridge Simmons
from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. When's that coming back? I love that
good
show.
Good question.
She's 27 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walked the showbiz beat.
Ralph Garman got out of bed today for two reasons. One, to make fun of me for liking mac and cheese.
Yes.
Two, and more importantly, to talk about Samurai Cop 2.
It's all that matters. It's all that matters. I'm such a huge fan of Samurai Cop that when I knew we were going to have the original Samurai Cop himself, a guy who played Joe Marshall in the film, Matt Hannon, on the show today to talk about the sequel that they're raising money for over there with Kickstarter, I couldn't be more thrilled.
I had never heard of this movie until you started talking about it this week.
It is a cult classic, and those of us who have discovered it not only on DVD or you can stream it, or they just had a couple screenings over at the silent movie theater up on the big screen. It's just everyone who watches this movie falls in love with it, and now 25 years later, they're making a sequel. Couldn't be happier.
And have you donated?
Not yet.
All right.
I want to talk to Matt about that when we get on the phone.
All right. We have Matt on the phone now. Hey, Matt.
Ralph, how are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
You're killing me. That ice bucket challenge was only reserved for those Colts fans. It wasn't to go after the nation, for God's sake.
What Matt?
Everyone's going to be hitting the YouTube on Samurai Cop ice bucket challenge, and I'm going to just be embarrassed out of my gourd here.
What Matt is talking about is he took the ALS ice bucket challenge, but he did it in a novel way. Rather than to pour ice and water on his head, he decided to do it nude and to submerge his genitals in an ice bucket.
Now, was that a
that's commitment?
Was that a variable? Was that a call on your part where you went, I need to do it differently?
Because all the fans that have been following me didn't expect crazy antics from me, so I thought, well, this will be par for the course, but it'll be down right after the Kickstarter's done. It's coming right off that YouTube. So you better download it now.
Let's talk about the phenomenon that has become Samurai Cop 25 years later. In your wildest imagination, did you ever think this was possible?
Oh, absolutely not. I couldn't believe. I mean, I watched it from a distance and always thought I had the only VHS copy. And then to see YouTube come to fruition, and then all of a sudden it just grew and grew and it's ridiculous.
From what I understand, they found a print of it in like a storage facility or something a couple of years ago, and that's when it started circulating again, right?
Yeah, Greg Hatanaka, the director here of the sequel, was shooting a completely different film, and his leading actress stumbled into a little storage room, and there were some canisters, and she dusted them off, and it said Samurai Cop, and Greg was familiar with seeing little bits and pieces on YouTube and just absolutely was beside himself. And so he meticulously he took the negative and redid it and digitally remastered it so you could see all me in like glory in sharp focus now, even on Blu-ray coming out.
It's coming out on Blu-ray. Yep. How did you look at it at the time? Did you think classic? Did you think, oh, this isn't as good as I hoped? Did you think this is terrible? Did you think it's okay? What was your opinion?
Well, yeah, initially when Amir, hired me for the part, I was ecstatic as, an up-and-coming actor, thinking, oh, great, I get to be the lead in the film, and I got, throughout the whole thing, I'll be able to get some good footage, and then maybe parlay that into
sure
more work. And, of course, as it unfolded day by day, we started realizing slowly what we had gotten ourselves into.
So you knew at the time you were filming a turkey.
Well, yeah, because he initially told me, because I read a lot of the dialogue, and as you know, it was absolutely ridiculous.
Yes.
Amir had written it verbatim, and he wanted it spoken that way, and we're all saying, well, we wouldn't say certain things like son of a bitches and Fujiyama, and he just said,
right.
No, just said, do it as I said. So, yeah, we had fun with it, and you try to just give respect to the director.
Now, Amir is Persian, right? So his English was not his first language.
Yes, correct.
Right, so that's why so some of the dialogue sounds very sort of odd and stilted.
Yes, a lot of things were lost in transition. Was
this at the time something that you hoped you could hide and would go away and you'd never have to talk about again?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I just thought no one will see this. And because there was never a theatrical release, anything. And Amir barely, I got the copy that I got actually had a time code. So I didn't think he sold it at the AFM. He went to the Film Mart and tried to sell it. I just thought nobody would have. I mean, if you look at it, not looking at it as we all do now, you would just go, oh my God, this is a horrible piece of crap, and you wouldn't even buy it.
But so you didn't. But you wouldn't have realized just how bad it was, which makes it genius.
Well, that's the magic. That's what I keep trying to tell everybody. To tell Matt, you're the star of the movie. I said, no, the actual star of this movie is Amir, because it is his writing, his editing, his, all the wig, everything that happened was, his creative accidental genius.
Yeah, let's talk about the wig just briefly, Matt. You did have a wonderful mane of flowing ebony hair in that film, but apparently you went off at the end of the principal shooting and cut all your hair off and then had to come back and do some reshoots, right?
Yeah, correct. We spent, I don't know, 6 months doing it, and then Amir said, okay, we're done. We've done all the dubbing and reshoots, and 3 months went by, and then he called me back in January 91, and I went to his office, and he just slipped out, because I had cut my hair, and I was shooting new headshots. My agent thought, you know, let's get a different look, and it just absolutely floored him.
And he put a wig on you that looks kind of like the hair Jacqueline Smith had in Charlie's Angels in the 70s.
Oh, yes, God. And we just went immediately to Hollywood Boulevard. I believe he grabbed the very first wig he could find.
Very nice. It just
and again,
adds to the film.
I was thinking, you know, perhaps he had just a few pickup shots. I had no idea. And as you've seen the film, it's like every other shot is me in a wig.
Yeah. In half of the movie, you're wearing a horrible lady's wig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's spectacular. And now, 25 years later, you're making the sequel. And what the weird part is, for a while, there was a rumor a couple years ago that you had passed away, Matt.
Yes, I love that rumor. And if it wasn't for my daughter, who had me post on YouTube that Samurai Cop alive and well, she kept telling me, Dad, don't let him, you know, think that this other guy named Matt Hannon was you. Let him know you're alive. So I set up my iPhone, and I did a quick little what you see on YouTube.
Right.
And I sent it to her, and I said, is this what you would want me to do if I do it? And the minute she had it, she uploaded it right onto YouTube.
Good for her. She did the right thing.
Yeah, thanks.
How long was that rumor going? I had heard it was like a couple of years people thought you were dead.
About 2 years, I think it was, yeah. 2 years.
Now, was there a plan for the sequel before you were resurrected, or was it?
There was some talk, because Mark Frazier, being the only living or person that was still around, and Greg was kind of kicking it around. But once my thing went viral that day, once it posted, it was immediately greenlit. Apparently money just started flying in, and the Kickstarter got started. So it sparked a frenzy.
Well, I got to say,
I think it'll be fun.
Judging from your ice bucket challenge, you certainly have stayed in good shape over the years. You're still ripped. What have you done for the past 25 years as far as work's concerned? Are you like a professional trainer or something?
Oh, I was hiding. That was my first
hiding. Okay.
Sure, right.
But of course, that's no. I don't. I just have always been into fitness. I'm obviously blessed because of my parents for good genes, and obviously just diet and exercise was just kind of my little hobby. So. I think that I would be ever doing anything in the entertainment industry.
So you weren't staying in great shape just in case they made a Samurai Cop 2?
No.
You've got the hair, you've got the physique, you're ready to go.
Yeah, really.
Well, there's like 10 days left, I think, on the Kickstarter. They're trying to raise another $50,000 for additional funding for the film, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and they have almost 37,000 raised.
Yeah, fans have been really kicking in. The more exposure, of course, with you guys being the number one station here in the nation.
I'm sure
everybody else will start hearing more. But yeah, there are 37,000, 10 days left, and I think, and it's fun. I think if you go on there, there's a lot of things. If you want to be in a scene with the Samurai Cop, I mean, there's certain pledge levels and different things you can get involved in. But
I think that's route school.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Matt, because it did catch my eye that on the Kickstarter page that for a mere $1,500,
might be a little pricey.
I could share the screen with Samurai Cop, if I'm not mistaken. I could film a scene with you in Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yep, myself or Mark or whoever.
No, I don't want Mark.
Oh,
all right.
I want the man himself.
Matt?
Absolutely.
I'm telling you right now, when we hang up from this interview, I'm going to go online and I'm going to sign up for that pledge for $1,500 so you and I can share the screen at some point, sir.
That would be awesome, Ralph. You've been nothing but kind. On my behalf of the director and everybody involved, they just really love that your enthusiasm has just really gotten
all right,
three days you guys have dedicated.
We have, yes.
Yes.
For people who didn't hear the clips of the movie, we'd like to play one clip. Ralph, do you want to
Matt Groening
already, man. Do you want to set up the one clip that we're going to play?
Well, this is the one that introduced me to Samurai Cop, and I think a lot of people. This showed up on YouTube. It's you and the naughty nurse, Matt.
Yes.
You're trying to question a suspect whose lips have been badly burned, and so he can't speak. And so the nurse that is attending to him tries to seduce you in the most clumsy possible way. Here's a clip.
Do you like what you see?
I love what I see.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Would you like to go out with me?
Yes, I would.
Would you like to f*** me?
Bingo.
Well, then let's see what you've got. Doesn't interest me. Nothing there.
Nothing there? Just exactly what would interest you? Something the size of a jumbo jet?
Have you been circumcised?
Yeah, I have. Why?
Well, your doctor must have cut a big portion of it off.
No, he was a good doctor.
Good doctors make mistakes, too. That's why they buy insurance.
Hey. Don't worry. I got enough. It's big.
I want bigger.
Ladies and gentlemen,
The best writing and the best acting that has ever happened.
That is fantastic. And don't think for a moment that we didn't vehemently argue to not have that dialogue. It happened anyway with Amir. No, this is funny, and you will say it as I've written it.
Did you say, I don't want to say bingo, though. I don't feel like the character would say bingo.
You just had to commit. Once we started with the first line, it's all right. Like, okay, we're going all the way through. And that actually should be Lisa May may want to consider.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you can get Lisa.
Like
her little sexy kitten voice. And, true Jill Marshall fashion,
I can live up to her. That acting, I think.
Well,
yeah, absolutely. You can't go any worse than myself, please.
Joe sleeps with everyone in Samurai Cop, Lisa. I'll have you know. The helicopter pilot, the nurse, the owner of the restaurant. He's just a man tramp, that Joe.
He was Samurai Tramp, yes.
Well, judging from the Kickstarter page, there's a lot of lovely ladies that are going to be in this second film as well. So I'm looking forward to it enormously. And I'm looking forward to working with you on the set, Matt.
Absolutely, Ralph. That's, like I said, a very kind gesture. And I think that'll be a blast.
I can't wait to go sign up for the Kickstarter for Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance. They thought he was dead. He was just cooling off. That's what the poster said.
He stole that from the actual live event. That's where he got that. I think originally it was you thought he was dead, but he's just hiding or something like that. And just because in my real life, everyone thought I was dead, so he thought that was hilarious.
That's very funny.
This might be the best project that has ever come through Kickstarter.
Oh, I don't know. You guys are
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it is.
I heard earlier that he used the word genius and my performance in the same sentence.
Yes.
That would never take place.
Well, we're going to prove them all wrong, man. We're going to prove them all wrong.
When you said bingo, you had me.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. We'll tweet it out to it, or just go to Kickstarter.com/SamuraiCop2, and you can see the video. Ralph, I think you have tapped into something. People are getting all over this Samurai Cop.
Samurai Cop, I'm telling you.
It's going to happen.
Here's my fear. I think it's going to be fun just to have a second movie around. My fear is they'll never be able to touch the unique, specific genius that is that first film.
Yeah.
It really is kind of lightning in a bottle. To have someone who's really a bad filmmaker desperately trying to make a great film and then come up as short as he did, there's a special chemistry to that phenomenon that is kind of unique.
And if he tries to recreate it,
Well, the guy's gone. The original, the director's gone.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Amir Shervin is gone now. But the guy who's taking his place is a huge fan. I mean, this is the guy who lovingly sort of resurrected the print that was discovered and is putting it on Blu-ray and everything. So,
but they're going to try and be bad. That's
I don't know. I think they might just have enough love for the project that they will be able to tap into what made it great.
Will they use the word
bingo?
I think they have to.
Bingo.
Works into my scene. I just signed in. Matt and I are going to work together. It's going to happen, man. I hope I get to play the sergeant or the captain. You know, YouTube, get your badges and guns on my desk tomorrow. You're leaving just a trail of corpses everywhere you go.
This is how Ralph does it. He puts himself into a movie, and then he rewrites the whole thing.
I write my own scene.
I like it. Let's talk about themed parties.
Yes.
There's a Mexican Star Trek themed wedding.
Naturally, everyone does those. The old Mexitrex weddings.
That has been considered the best theme party ever. Because...
Yeah, by whom?
I don't know. I don't think there's a blue ribbon panel of judges.
Well, I read the article. You know who said it was the best thing ever? Was the bride.
Well...
She was the one who said it was the best party ever.
All right. Well, you got a question now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
it's not
but...
no one else said, oh, a Mexican / Star Trek wedding? That's the greatest idea ever.
So that got us talking about theme parties.
Yeah, which are almost always a disappointment.
Here's my problem with theme parties. And by the way, call us 1-800-520-1067 if you have gone to or have planned or have been a part of a bad theme party.
We want to hear your theme party...
Disasters.
Tales.
Disaster.
If it's a great one, that could be interesting too. But of course, it's always funnier when they fail. And most of them do.
Here's my problem with theme parties. Most of the time you put a lot of work into, and this applies to Halloween as well, by the way, which is a theme party. Most of the time you put so much work into a costume or the theme, and then 10 minutes in, once you've seen everybody else's costume, now you're just standing around with these costumes on and you're uncomfortable and it just seems like it turns south.
They're terrible costumes. You can't sit down.
Right.
You start
can't go to the bathroom.
Yeah, it's,
and now
it's
you're miserable and everybody there has seen you already three times. They're not interested in what you're wearing.
That's just a costume party.
There's a lot more to theme parties than just costumes if you do it right. Like, for example, this Mexican Star Wars wedding, Star Trek wedding we're talking about, they actually took Klingon battle instruments and had a fight in the middle of the dance floor instead of a first dance between the bride and the groom while a mariachi band decked out in Star Trek uniforms performed background music for them. So that's unique.
Wow. I got to say.
Yeah, you don't see that kind of thing very often.
There's somebody out there for everybody.
There
I don't
really
know
is.
How that guy found that girl or how that girl found that guy, but that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Ralph did show up to his wedding in the Batmobile.
Yes.
Look, I wanted a theme wedding. I wanted to do a Batman-themed wedding, but my wife wouldn't have
your
it.
Wife.
Thank God, because would we have had to dress up?
Yes.
No, that's what I'm saying. You know, you don't have to attend a theme event. You don't necessarily have to dress up.
I'm okay with that, but if you're going to make me dress up to go to your thing, that annoys me.
No, your wife made the right decision.
But no, she made the absolutely wrong decision. How awesome would it have been to get married in a Batman and Catwoman costume? Having the Joker be the officiate.
Well,
that would have been brilliant.
All right, take it easy.
Brilliant. But most of these theme weddings, it's usually the bride, the groom, and the wedding party are dressed up in whatever theme that the wedding is. And then everyone else just comes in just in normal attire.
Dress what however you want.
Yeah. But theme parties, are, you know, it's not just weddings. They do it for birthdays. They do it for bar mitzvahs. They do it. Kids' parties almost always have themes, but people seem to hang on to it and have brought it into adulthood now. You can have, you know, they have divorce parties as well as weddings. Birthdays, as we mentioned. You know, you can do a theme for anything. And I think more often than not, the thing that holds you back is time, energy, and money. It costs a lot of money to put these things together. So usually they end up being a little bit low rent, which kind of puts a stink on them that's kind of hard to shake.
Yeah, that stink might be there anyway.
Yeah.
Even if you had the money and the time. Let's take one call. Brandon is on the line from Redondo Beach. Hi, Brandon. Hello, Brandon. Oop, my bad.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Brandon, we're looking for your theme party stories. What's yours?
We had a very horribly good Jersey Shore party.
What was the occasion?
I don't know. We just had a wild hair up our butt when it was the Jersey Shore phenomenon, and we just wanted to get crazy and drunk and act like Graziano.
So you wanted to capitalize on the Jersey Shore phenomenon, and how did you do it?
We had a, you know, me and my buddies, we had a one-bedroom apartment we shared, and we had about 60 or 70 people come through, and they all dressed up like their own Jersey Shore representation. And
was it a disaster, or did you like it? Disaster, or did you like it?
It was awesome, man.
It was awesome.
Go wrong when you have a bunch of people dressed up like, you know, Guidos.
Oh, man. I can't think of a night I'd rather be less at.
Can you imagine being Brandon's neighbor?
Cabs are here! Cabs are here! Cabs are here!
Just hear that all night long.
I weigh about 250, 300, and, you know, the abs are here. You know, what can I say? You know,
right on.
You're wearing a wife beater with a fake tan?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I would have taken a flamethrower to that party.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Theme parties, good or bad, that's what we're looking for. We'll talk to you next.
It all started with a Mexican Star Trek-themed wedding in San Antonio, Texas. Sounded like a horrible idea.
Yes,
mixing mariachi bands and Star Trek uniforms. So we got to thinking about your theme party experiences, good or bad, although it's hard to think of a good one.
Yeah.
If it was a theme party disaster, we'd love to talk to you. Theme parties. People trying too hard to have a good time is the topic.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's start with Matt. This at least makes sense. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Tell us about your theme party, Matt.
Yeah, I'm sorry Bean's not working, but we threw a Christmas Story theme party. We do a holiday party every year and try to come up with a theme.
And you did the classic A Christmas Story.
Yeah, so we projected the movie on the side of the wall. We got the bunny suit, the Red Ryder BB gun, and ironically, we didn't plan this, but one of our friends, she was dating the bully, Scott Farkas, actor named Zach, and so she brought the bully to the party. So it actually was pretty good.
Scott Farkas was actually at the Christmas Story party?
Scott Farkas was at the Christmas Story party.
With his yellow eyes?
With his yellow eyes.
Oh, you should have shot him with the Red Ryder BB gun.
That's a win right there.
Put your eye out, kid.
Yeah. This sounds pretty good.
Yeah, this sounds like a win.
Everybody got ripped, and then we passed around the bunny suit and danced crazy. It actually worked out pretty well.
Did you have a leg lamp?
We had the leg lamp. I have the official size leg lamp. Cost me $350. But,
that's commitment.
Best $350 you ever spent, right?
Yeah. it made the party. I tell you, people were stroking it, statue. It was good.
Take it easy.
Major award.
Thank you, Matt.
Congratulations, Matt.
Wow.
That sounds like it actually went well.
I thought we would get, like, all bad because they just seemed like a bad idea to me.
I've never heard one go that well.
That sounded good.
Surprising.
Chris in Orange. Hi.
Yeah, I was basically working for a church at the time, and the youth group, we decided to throw a black tie barbecue, where what we did was, I was the one that came up with it. I didn't tell anybody, but I made everybody dress in full formal gowns, full formal, like, tuxedos and that kind of thing.
Right.
We had it completely dressed up and that kind of thing, and then we served the messiest barbecue that you could ever possibly find, like ribs and brisket and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We didn't give them napkins, we didn't give them silverware or anything like that. So it was really fun to watch people because, like, for the rest of the night, like, nobody could sit down, nobody could do anything, nobody wanted to touch each other, and it was a church thing, so nobody could drink to kind of make themselves forget about
Wow. That had everything going wrong.
You're an evil bastard.
Yeah, I thought it was hysterical.
Sure.
I think, like, me and three other guys did. Everybody else was miserable.
Yeah. That's not a church function. That's a work of Satan.
I guess if that was your goal, congratulations.
Well, congratulations.
Let's go to Laura in Sherman Oaks. Hi, Laura.
Hi. So we did Everybody Excited Mario Kart birthday.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. What happened? Mario Kart birthday party?
Yes. So it was themed. We all got a character. We all dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
My friends work in film, so we had, like, full production designer, like, work. And we had balloons on our back and ran around my friend's place in Claremont and actually, like, were throwing things at each other, bananas on the ground. It was incredible.
That sounds pretty good.
I
got to be honest. That sounds pretty good.
It does. And so it was... I mean, we just kind of pop each other's balloons on the back of us. It was crazy. We do birthday adventures.
Oh, yeah.
Ralph, not a fan of that?
I'm not.
I'm giving that one a thumbs up. I like that.
It just sounds so desperate.
Yeah.
Sounds all right, like you're really working hard to have a good time.
Thank you for the call.
I was like, whatever happened to, like, a keg and a pizza at somebody's birthday party? I mean, it works well.
All right, let's go to Rachel, who may have the best theme party ever. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Looking for theme party nightmares. What's yours?
Okay, so in college, we had a lot of themes, but one of my favorites was a Rubik's Cube party. And
a Rubik's Cube party?
Yes.
All right.
Dude, lame.
How does that work, Rachel?
So you go to the thrift store and just get different clothes of all different colors, and you come dressed up in all these different colors.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Through the night, you try and trade and barter and get all one color. So the goal is to get all one color, trading with people at the party. So, you know, you try to end up with everyone's clothes of that color. And it's pretty funny when, you know, big guys trade for small girl shirts and, you know, you're wearing all crazy clothes and everything. So
that's a terrible idea.
That's a great idea.
Oh, Rachel.
And this was in college.
Oh,
they did
so
this.
Fun.
They did.
Did you
Rubik's...
go to school in a town that didn't serve alcohol?
No, there was lots of alcohol, plenty.
Yeah. Not enough. Not enough to get me to your Rubik's Cube party.
I think you may have the worst party we've ever heard of.
I thought it was fun.
Congratulations, Rachel. Thank you, Lisa. It's World Famous K-Rock at 8:53. Ralph, were you working here when we did the Christmas party on a boat? You remember that?
I think I remember a singles party on a boat, but I don't remember a Christmas party on a boat.
It was a K-Rock Christmas party.
Oh, yes. No.
And it was
I
on
wasn't
a boat,
here for that.
And we were bemoaning the fact that if it goes south or it's a bad party, you're stuck.
Yeah.
It's true. You can't
So
can't
we
leave
actually
early.
We actually had listeners with boats following our boat around so that we could get off if we needed to.
Oh, man. Did anyone take advantage?
There were two people that were in boats. No one took advantage because
it was a pretty good party.
It was a pretty good party, and then I went up to the captain and I said, hey, how long is this going to last? Because I wanted to get off.
Right.
And he said, as soon as anyone from
tells
me to go back, I'll go back. And I said, well, I work there. Go back. And he's like, okay. And we went back like an hour and a half early.
Perfect.
It worked out really well.
So you ruined it for everyone, so that was nice.
I'd like to think
good
I saved
you.
It. I saved it for everyone.
I'm sure you did.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Do we have time for that new moment?
Nope.
I think we do, don't we?
Nope.
Moment with Kevin?
Woo!
Pretty spectacular.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, we have stuff to give away. We have a pair of VIP tickets to the Red Bull Global Rallycross, September 19th to the 21st. It's happening at the LA, at the Port of LA. If you'd like tickets and more info, you can go to this website, Red Bull Global Rally Cross. Start the song again. I'm not happy with that. I don't feel like this is going well. I don't feel like the client's getting their money's worth.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah.
Rarely do we have to stop the show for one of your moments.
How do you do that where you go Red Bull Global Rally? And then
cross.
But cross has to be said for the website or it doesn't work. So I left it out and then 4 seconds later realized I needed to put it back in.
Yeah.
So that happened.
It's all good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Advertisers, you too can have this kind of treatment for your product. Giving stuff away, how about a pair of passes to the Brickleberry Season 3 premiere party?
Yeah!
It's going to be pretty cool. I don't know if you guys watched that Brickleberry on Comedy Central, but it's very funny. It is returning with Season 3 on September the 16th, Tuesday, 10:30 p.m. on Comedy Central. And to celebrate, they're having a big premiere party. Wouldn't you like to go? We're giving away one pair of passes to this party. You got to be 21 years of age or older, and you'll get to hang out with the cast and creators of its hit comedy animated series, Brickleberry. Call now 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to go to the party. First caller gets through with that number. Wins.
But you have to come as a color of a Rubik's Cube.
No, there'll be no trading of clothing.
You trade clothes, and then you get together with your color.
I understand the premise of wouldn't it be fun to have a theme party? But I think that's where the fun ends. Once you come up with the theme, then it's all downhill from there.
Well, we have a unique job in that we come up with ridiculous ideas, but then we try to pull them off. And a lot of times, it goes poorly because it does sound better in concept than it actually is when you execute it.
And I guess you have to be all in.
Yeah, that's very important.
And everybody sort of has to be on board for one of those things to work.
Yeah.
Because you get one naysayer, one guy says turn the boat around early, then it just ruins it for everyone.
No one complained, by the way, about that boat going back early.
I just remember college, the only theme party I've ever been a part of, I think, was we wanted to have a costume party because we're a bunch of theater geeks. And we like dressing up in costumes. But it was far from Halloween, so we had to come up with a theme for why we would all get dressed up. And we opted to come as your favorite dead celebrity party.
Okay.
So you had to come with somebody who had died, a famous dead person.
And that to you said party?
Yeah. Because it was so anti-party.
Okay.
It was sort of like the opposite of, let's all put balloons on our back and play Mario Kart. It was like, let's do something really sort of sad and depressing and macabre and morbid, and we'll have a party around that.
Who did you dress up as?
I think I was Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly.
Yeah, but my friend came as John Lennon. With, like, bullet holes in him and stuff.
Oh,
and,
God.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people went very dark with it, which made it funnier.
It's a dark theme to begin with.
The guy came as Belushi. He looked like Jake Blues from the Blues Brothers, but he had a syringe. He was tied off and had a syringe hanging out of his arm. I mean, people went very dark with it, which is what made it so funny, I think.
Yeah. But it's the commitment. You're right. It has to be.
100%. You got to be all in. Speaking of all in.
I don't know what that
means. Right? You with me?
I don't know what you're saying.
Iggy Azalea.
Oh, yeah.
Iggy Azalea, the very sexy Australian rapper who for some reason sounds like she came out of Compton.
She does.
When she raps, she apparently is the star of a sex tape, which Vivid founder and co-chairman Steve Hurst says they are coming shopping it to his Vivid Entertainment porn company.
Yeah!
Oh, no, kids, I don't think this is for you.
Says he's been approached by a party who claims to have the rights to a purported sex tape featuring recording artist Iggy Azalea.
Yeah!
Seriously.
The kids really want to see it.
Seriously, kids.
If he does indeed buy it, he says he believes there would be a huge demand for her sex tape.
Yeah!
See, they really want it. If there's any sex tape out there that could rival that of Kim Kardashian's, this one is it. We are conducting our due diligence, and if we are satisfied with our review, we'll definitely try to make a deal and distribute the tape, he said. So, we can find out if she's fancy everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know down in this region down here?
It's pretty clear.
Hey, how fancy is that down there? Sure.
It's pretty clear.
You'll be dazzled.
It's from the first thing you said.
Yeah. You're vajazzled.
Vajazzled, good.
That's what they call it, right?
Vajazzling? They do? I don't know.
Yeah. When you put jewels around your lady parts,
all right.
It's vajazzling, I think.
Let's do a theme party around that.
Let's have a vajazzling party. This Utopia show on Fox. Oh, Fox, what are you thinking? It's a reality show with a bunch of people who have to create a new
society, and it's like, nobody wants to watch this stuff.
I watch a lot of TV, and I've never heard of that. I mean, I heard of it, but
Fox is sad because
I don't know when it is or anything.
$55 million to produce it.
Never seen it.
That's an expensive show.
$55 million.
Show did pretty well on Sunday when it had Fox football as a lead-in, but when it was supposed to carry its own weight on Tuesday night, it lost 55% of its audience, pulling in just 2.5 million total viewers. To give you an idea what that means, on that night, on Tuesday night, Big Brother on the other side of the dial on CBS got nearly 7 million viewers with their show. So,
and by the way, The Walking Dead, I think, gets between 10 and 14 million.
You sure? Sure about that?
Now you're making me doubt myself.
That sounds like pretty big basic cable numbers.
I think it is.
Really? Well, then there you go.
Maybe for the finale or something.
That'll show you. That'll show you.
Or if you add like three episodes together.
Look, I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just hard to believe you're right sometimes. That's all I'm saying.
Anytime anyone doubts me, I think they're probably right because I'm shaky.
See? We all have a problem.
All right.
With anything that comes out of your mouth. Today's celebrity birthday, Scott Patterson's 56 years old today. Singer Moby is 49. Harry Connick Jr. turns 47. Taraji P. Henson celebrates her 44th birthday. Luda, rapper Ludacris, is 37, as is Johnny Buckland, guitarist for Coldplay. Tyler Hoechlin plays Derek on Teen Wolf. He's 27 years old. He's hardly a teen wolf then, is he? He's 27. And Elizabeth Henstridge, she's Simmons of Fitzsimmons. The team of scientists over there on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're not even S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, man. Now that Hydra blew them all up, what are they doing? We'll find out soon. It comes back this month.
September 23rd, I want to
say? I think it's the 23rd, yeah.
But then I'm saying it, so
we
got to
see if we get Clark Gregg
that.
Back on. Yeah. See if he can confirm or deny what day it starts, because we can't trust Kevin. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat, the last one of the day.
A lot of people reaching out, touching base with those of us here on the show regarding Kevin's eating habits of a child.
Maria writes, I always look at the kids' menu. That's pretty much where I always order from. People think it's strange. Yeah. I see nothing wrong with it.
Well, it's because she is also has a retarded adolescence at best.
Era. I think it's her name.
Error.
The adult portions of America are gluttonous. Go, Kevin. Eat that kid's menu portion and don't get fat.
Right. That's why Kevin goes to the kid's menu, because of its portion size.
Uh-huh. That's right.
The guy who will eat a vat of ice cream larger than a bathtub. Easily, in one sitting. Easily.
But I haven't used up all of my calories on a bogus dinner.
The people at It's Sugar... The candy store sent over a gift for you, Kevin.
Oh, they
because,
did?
Because of your eating...
What's that?
Your tastes. It's a breakfast cereal. It's just for you. It's called Marshmallow Madness, and it's 100% tasty, crunchy marshmallows, 0% cereal.
I love that. I love that.
I know, because you go into the Lucky Charms...
I separate...
And you take out the marshmallows, and you just eat the marshmallows.
I do that.
This is like the Lucky Charms with just the charms and no cereal.
I never admitted to doing that. How would you... Are you just guessing?
I've seen you eat Lucky Charms before. And I've seen you scoop out the marshmallows.
That's awesome.
This is all marshmallows. Just pour milk on a bowl of marshmallows.
Marshmallow Madness.
And Marshmallow Madness, yeah.
I want that right now.
Well, here you go.
Thank you.
There you go. And he's going to eat it during the show business.
Tearing the box.
I'm sure he is.
He's tearing the box.
It looks delicious.
All right, let's talk about show business news. Adrian Palicki from Friday Night Lights. More importantly, from the upcoming Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. She will be Mockingbird on that show.
Did we find out when that comes back?
Yeah, the 23rd, Kevin.
23rd.
You're not going to eat and talk on the air, are you?
Can it get worse?
No, it can't.
For me?
She's getting married. Her boyfriend, Jackson Spidell, popped the question, and she said yes. They met together working on a movie called John Wick. So now she's going to be Adrian Palicki Spidell. Poor kid.
A lot of bad names.
A lot of bad names in a row. Richard Kiel, the actor who played Jaws, the legendary villain from the James Bond movies, The Spy Who Loved Me and Moonraker, has passed away. A giant 7'2" villain with steel cap teeth made him famous. But he was also in a bunch of other films, too, like Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor, comedy Silver Streak. He was Adam Sandler's boss in Happy Gilmore. He was Samson in The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds. Very talented guy. Obviously typecast because of his massive size. But by all accounts, just a gentle giant and one of the good guys in the business.
But you can't feel bad about that because Dave Sanchez's death
judge right.
ruled against you.
Can't feel bad.
Sorry.
I have to move on, according to Dave.
Yep.
Speaking of moving on, Shia LaBeouf is man enough to admit he was a drunken slob in New York City in June when he got popped at the theater that is Studio 54. He was watching a performance of Cabaret. And was stoned and drunk and fell off his chair and got carted off by the cops. He has pled guilty.
Is that right?
To disorderly conduct.
You almost never hear that.
Know,
you hear no contest.
Nobody cops to it.
Wow.
Got to put off a life sentence. He has to stay out of trouble for 6 months, complete a 6-month outpatient alcohol program, but he's already got 3 months of a program under his belt, so he's well on his way. But he said he wanted to admit that he had done it, and he did, so. Good for him.
How about that? I didn't know guilty was actually an option. I thought they just threw it out there.
People can still plead that. First it was 21 Jump Street. Then, of course, 22 Jump Street, the successful sequel. Now, 23 Jump Street in the works, which is a joke, actually, they made about the potential for a trilogy in the actual film. Sony has hired one of the writers of 22 Jump Street to the third.
At the end of that, they went through, like, 22 or 23 different ones.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see all of them.
Where will it be set is the question. First one, of course, was high school. Then the sequel was in college. People speculating maybe med school or law school or something is where they'll end up next. And you know Iggy Azalea. You can't avoid her these days. She, of course, has that smash hit song, Fancy. Well, we're going to get to see a little bit more of her, perhaps. Steve Hirsch, founder and co-chairman of Vivid Entertainment, says he has been approached by someone who claims to have the rights to a sex tape featuring the 24-year-old Australian rapper, whose real name is Amethyst Kelly, by the way.
That's so hot.
Amethyst Kelly would be a great porn name.
Amethyst Kelly.
There will be a huge demand for the sex tape, Mr. Hirsch says. He's doing his due diligence, and he says if he's satisfied, he will definitely try to make a deal to distribute the tape.
Yeah! That's hot!
I'd give that a glance.
Give it a spin, wouldn't you?
I'd give that a look. Take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Scott Patterson, the actor, is 56 years old today. Singer Moby turns 49. Harry Connick Jr. turns 47 years old. Taraji P. Henson is 44. Ludacris, 37, as is Coldplay guitarist Johnny Buckland. Tyler Hoechlin plays Derek on Teen Wolf. He is 27 years old. And we were just talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back this month. Elizabeth Henstridge, who plays Simmons on that show. She is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have DJ Qualls on the show talking about his new television project. I don't know if you remember this or not, but we interviewed him at Comic-Con.
Yes, he didn't like you.
He told me specifically, the more I find out about you, the less I like you.
Oh, yes. Man.
Which made me laugh.
Which made me realize what a smart, smart, young, talented performer he is.
RJ Bell will be on the program from pregame.com talking about the NFL picks. We got the movie beat because it's Friday. And one of the best comedians working today, Bill Burr, will join us in studio tomorrow morning.